Obama way, Obama way, Obama way. Anyway, it's the news, according to me. Well, good. What is this? Is this Thursday? Thursday morning, July 25th, 2024. And there is just so much hopping and popping in this country, in this world. Where do we begin? Where do we even begin? I think let's begin at the very beginning, the part that really matters. We will begin with what's in my cup. This morning I have chai with coconut creamer. So guess where I am? Those of you who know. Those of you who don't. Because it's important to understand the great significance of the passage of time. Because we shall be unburdened by what has been, by looking to the future, which is burdened by what is. We have, whatever that is. I'm not the great philosopher that the current nominee for the Democrat Party is. I have a feeling. I have, I'm not positive about this, of course, but I have this suspicion that the convention is not going to be just all unified. I think that there's a faction of people, there's a group of people there, a pretty powerful group of people there, who are going to say that the convention has got to be a show of unity among the Democrat Party, that we're all on board with Kamala. And that everybody's on board with this, and that it was all well done, and it was just, there's one pundit that said something very profound, and it's not that Obama's not going to come out and endorse Kamala, he's going to endorse the process. I think he's going to wait until after the convention to endorse anyone. But I believe that what we're seeing here is an attempt to endorse the process. This is the Democrat way of doing it. This is democracy. Democracy is being completely, worked out in this process. And this is the way democracy works. You vote for one candidate and that candidate drops out, then you get another candidate without any votes at all. Because she was on the ticket. That's their thinking. So by the way, back to my cup. Let's talk about something more interesting. This cup. That's a good cup of chai. I think it's just because I went out, I rode my bike, and there's a place here, the restaurant, that's not too far away. Got out this morning, rode my bike, and went to a restaurant, had some breakfast, and I came back with my, made my chai here for the show. I have a backup cup, which is actually more of a thermos, but it is sweet tea, so never guess where it's from. Well, it's from Chick-fil-A, of course. A Chick-fil-A in Charlotte. I was in Charlotte yesterday morning. Now, I am on the boat right now. Tomorrow morning, I will be in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and it looks as if I will be able to have a show tomorrow. Things are looking very good as far as being able to put the show together. I am on my computer right now, and I do apologize for the background noise and the general sound of this recording, because I don't have my good microphone, but it's in my car, and I didn't bring it to the boat here. It's too far to go back to get that, so I just decided I would just use the computer this morning computer microphone to do this. So that's what we're doing at the moment. We're just using that. That's why the sound quality is, it's not great. I don't think you can hear seagulls in the background with this microphone. I'm hearing some, but you probably can't hear them. Let's just dive into this whole thing with what's going on with Kamala here. This is such a creepy, freaky process. Now AOC has come out and said that nobody wants Kamala. So they're not on board with her. That behind the scenes, the Democrats are not unified with this thing. That's the thing I take away from it. Is she says that nobody wants that behind the scenes. They're against Kamala being in it. Now this is why I think the convention is going to be so interesting, because when you get to a convention, until those delegates cast their votes officially, This whole thing is up in the air. Anything could potentially happen. We could end up with another candidate on the ticket other than Joe or Kamala. Who knows? This could just end very badly for them. If nothing else, it's just going to show the disarray. You'll charge up some of the base. They're already, like I've said, I've already called it on all this stuff. They're already considering Kamala to be the second coming, and she's the most wonderful person for the job. Now, I don't know if any of you watched her little speech that she gave at the time that Joe was passing the torch, as he calls it, to this new generation. I'm going to give my analysis of what is going on with her voice, because that's where I am. I am the expert. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a financial counselor, advisor, any kind of professional. But I do have this ability to understand people's voices. The voice that I hear, it's partially part of her speech pattern and the issues that she has with her voice. It's much like Robert Kennedy Jr. He's got a problem with his voice, which makes it actually more difficult to read him in terms of understanding his sincerity. Now, I've gotten nothing but sincerity from RFK Jr. He's a very sincere person. He's sincerely wrong about a lot of things, but at least he's real about things. I can appreciate and respect that. I think I could sit down and have a discussion with RFK Jr. And it could be a cordial and respectful conversation. We could disagree on a lot of things, but because we have the conviction of just we're based on what we, you know, what we believe and where our fundamental principles are. And that's what I'd like to understand, is where his fundamental principles are, because I think it flies off into, you know, when you look back at the founding fathers and what they originally intended, how things fly off into oblivion is really kind of ridiculous. It's kind of crazy, but needless to say, that's good chai. What do you think of my chai? People like Kamala Harris, people like Joe Biden, AOC, these people they're disingenuous. They only follow the party line. And here's the interesting thing about the Democrat Party. They see that they're going to have to present a unit. The Republicans were very unified, a lot of which because of what happened on on July 13th. So, I think that was the date. And that really, I think, was one of the overwhelming. Not too many people talked about it, but everyone realized it. I think it's one of those things where people are noticing it, even subconsciously. They just realize, hey, the Republicans really got their act together. They put on a good convention. These people are, you know, together with it, on board. A lot of which happened because of what happened to Donald Trump. They realize that he was very close to being killed. We would be having an incredibly different conversation right now. And the director of the Secret Service, who now has stepped down, which I think was a mistake, offers her now a lot of. She's doing it for legal reasons. That gives her now she's a U.S. citizen. She's no longer. Unless she still works for the agency, she might have stepped down as director. Maybe she still works there. But if she stepped out completely, now she's now a U.S. citizen. Now, of course, somebody probably stepped in and said, "We will provide you with legal counsel if you step down." That would be my guess. Someone in the high up, someone in the administrative state, has probably stepped in and said, "We will provide you counsel if you step down as a personal citizen." Because now she is afforded many more rights. As now that she steps out as the director, they can't really question her about anything anymore. It's done. I believe this is why AOC and a few others were actually condemning her. There's a lot of Democrats calling for her resignation. I think they were doing it to cover up something. That's what I think. when the Democrats and the Republicans are together on something like that, there's a problem. There's probably something going on here we need to look into further. And we can't look any further now other than to find out who was around, the other people who were there. Now, on some level, I still believe that the FBI being the prime example, whether the person at the top knows it or not, I think she did in this case. I think she knew what was going on with people within her circles, people who reported to her. And I don't recall anyone asking, and I'd like to know the answer to this, I guess. I'd love to be there feeding questions to the, and I probably should just write these people when this kind of thing starts happening. You know, who does she actually answer to? Does she answer directly to the president? Does she answer to the, you know, director of Homeland Security? I believe she does. I think that's her direct report, I think, is Homeland Security. And so Mayorkas is basically her boss, is the way I understand it. Now, maybe that's not the case. Maybe I'm way off on that. But that's my understanding, is that's who oversees the Secret Service. Which, you know, gives you a lot of confidence in terms of who, you know, what kind of details they're providing. Okay. Now, during this inquisition that she went through before Congress, she is so inept. So she knows the game, and she doesn't play it. She plays it very obviously. She's not very good at covering up like Director Wray is with the FBI. Now, Wray has actually come out and said a few more things recently. I think he's kind of starting to realize, hey, maybe I need to be a little more forthcoming, because I think this new administration might make it in if we can't keep him out. We just tried to kill him, and that didn't work. So there's just more and more things like this, I think, that continue to happen. And I think that the rats are trying to run, you know, off the ship now, or at least comply. The interesting thing, she would be asked a question, she would say, how many, someone would ask her a question, how many officers were on site? How many Secret Service agents were on site? There were a number of Secret Service agents on site. Yeah, that's it. There were a number. And we want to know what the number is. That's the question, is what is the number? We know there's a number. You don't have to tell us there's a number. And yet that's the kind of thing that's the way she would answer most of her questions. 90% of her questions were, well, there were a number of this, there were a number of that. Well, I can't give you that information. The FBI, you know, the FBI briefed her on how many cell casings they found on the roof. So they asked her how many, what did the FBI tell you? They said, you know, she said, I can't answer that question. I'm going to leave that up to the FBI. That's beyond the scope of our investigation. But they told you, why do they tell you? If it's beyond your scope, then why do you even know it? Why would they even bother telling you if you shouldn't even know that information? And this is my first, if I were the person asking her questions, if my first question to her would be, who do you work for? And she would say, I work for Mayorkas, or whatever she would say. And I would ask her again, who do you work for? Because she works for the American people. And guess what? If I was there as a representative, I would be letting them know first and foremost, I work for the American people. In fact, I represent them, and they are asking these questions. Are you going to answer the American people who are asked? This is the question right now that I represent them. I'm asking them asking on their behalf this question, and you're telling me you can't give me this answer, and yet I'm the one who pays your bills. And you will not answer to the American people. You won't even be, it's not just that they're not forthcoming. They're actually lying and covering up and deceiving and manipulating information. And this has got to stop. It just goes on and on like this. Of course, now she's resigned. So good luck getting her back in there to answer any questions. She's going to plead the fifth on everything now. We thought it was tough to get answers from her before. So we have an interesting compilation here of things happening. Still a lot of questions about the shooter, about the position that he took, how he was allowed to take that position. If it was obvious to a 20-year-old that was a great position to take, then why wasn't it obvious to these trained professionals who should know better? Of course, the question is, that I've heard people ask, and Mayorkas and some others have said, the Democrats are coming out now and saying, well, the Secret Service did protect Donald Trump. They bravely went up there and shielded him from many bullets. How many Secret Service agents were injured in this process? Zero. None of them. They protected him after he was shot. Afterwards. That's not exactly protection now, is it? Oh, somebody shoots at you, we're going to protect you. Oh, okay, thanks. After the bullet goes through my head, you'll protect my body afterwards. That's great. It's just asinine. Now, I have not heard any more reports of a bullet hitting Donald Trump's chest. I had earlier heard a report that there was a hole through his coat. And that his bulletproof vest apparently stopped it. But I have not heard anything else about that. So who knows whether that was the case or not. I don't know. Probably not. I don't know. So the Democrats right now, they claim that they have secured enough delegates to support her, to support Kamala. Kamala in the convention. We'll find out in the convention. But I'm getting back to this speech she made where Joe chimed, he's on the phone with her. He's talking on the phone. And she's, oh, there's Joe. Joe, I know you're still on the phone. Oh, Joe, we love you, Joe. Joe, we love you. Joe, yeah. If you look at her face, this is the phoniest, most disingenuous smile. She cannot fake smile worth anything. Everything she does is in portrayal. Everybody talks about her weird cackling laughter. That is an insecurity. It is an insecure laugh. She wants you to laugh with her. Oh, we're, see, everything's great. Everything's good between us. We're just laughing together. It's this laugh with this look at you like, you're going to laugh with me, right? There was a very telling interview. I think it was actually CNN. So one reporter was asking her some questions. This is back before she was, I think it's when she just got put on the ticket as the VP. Might have been even before that. Might have been when she was running as a candidate. And she was asked a question about something about being the most liberal of all the candidates in the field. And she kind of laughed at it. She said, oh, I think it was Mike Pence that said that in the campaign trail. And she laughed. But the reporter wasn't laughing. She said, well, this organization, it's a supposedly a non-biased organization. But it was I think it was a left-leaning organization. They actually rated her on a scale, and she said, she brought up this information. She said, no, this is what this information from this particular analysis company did, and they went through all your stances on everything, and this is what they believe. This is what you rank based on your platform. You rank the most liberal of all the candidates, and the most leftist, I should say. And she's still trying to, she still has a smile on her face, like, you're not going to laugh with me? Like, yo, this is not funny. And she kind of has this, like, deer in the headlights look, like, why are you not laughing with me? I thought we were getting along so well. I thought you were my girlfriend here, you know, kind of thing. And that's not what happened. She was called out, surprisingly, by this reporter, who's a left-leaning reporter. But at that time, I think they were trying to get rid of the Kamala. So, I don't know how this is going to work out. I know that the media, there's this kind of a, they're talking about a honeymoon right now with this whole thing with Kamala, and how everybody's all excited. It's not Joe. And they don't have to worry about this, the dementia thing. Folks, it's just another sack of lies. They just continue to lie about from one thing to the next, and it's getting really old and really tiring. And I I can't believe that the Democrats... Well, let's just put it this way. Their enthusiasm is one of the things they had a problem with. The enthusiasm level coming from these people. The voter turnout was not going to be good for the leftists. And with Kamala stepping in right now, it looks like there's some enthusiasm. It looks as if there may be some more enthusiasm for her to step in and be able to get some more people to the polls. She's trying to go for the young vote. She's trying to go for that right now. In the meantime, Trump is still up in almost every single swing state. Every single one. I think the only one that he's close on, there's maybe a virtual tie, is in Wisconsin. Every place else he's up several points. Michigan, Pennsylvania, Arizona, Georgia. Still up in all those. Now, Kamala has brought things up a little bit, but it's not going to take very long for her to get out on the campaign trail. Of course, all she has to offer is, I'm not Trump, and I'm a prosecutor, and I know his type really well. She's got a good speechwriter. And she presents it very well. Much better than Joe. She is trying to take a page out of Obama's playbook. If you listen to her carefully, you can tell that she speaks differently when she's around certain people. She sounds more, has that drawl, tries to talk a little more hip-hop when she's around certain crowds. And she tries to cadence herself much like Obama did in terms of his speech. He was a very good teleprompter. He was called POTUS teleprompter when he first couple of years in office. Every time when the teleprompter was gone, he could not speech not do. He would get all tongue tangled up, and everything was just a mess. Well, come on now. He'd get lost in the middle of a speech. He couldn't say anything. Much like I do, but I'm not the president. If you didn't notice, I'm not the president, even though I can whisper like Joe Biden. So, there are some interesting things ahead of us, I believe, with this, the way this is all going to unfold. I'm not so sure. I'm about 70% sure right now that Kamala will be on the ticket in November. But the powers that be, I guarantee you, are still fighting behind the scenes, and Hillary Clinton has come out and endorsed her. Now the question is, who is going to be her running mate? This is going to be very telling. Because this could be very interesting. Let's just put it that way. I personally don't think that it's going to go well. Once she picks a running mate, Gavin Newsom certainly will not be the VP. If he takes that position, then there's a whole lot more going on. I'm not going to say it couldn't happen. I'm just saying there's a lot more powerful people behind this thing than what I thought originally. Now, one of the things that she did is she stepped in and she actually usurped the Biden campaign funds, tunes of $200 million or whatever it is, which now I guess has been considered as being illegally done, even though they're claiming that it's okay. So what she did now, this is what she did is exactly what Hillary Clinton did in terms of managing her campaign funds. And Hillary Clinton was actually charged, I think she had to pay an $8,000 fine or whatever it was, because there was commingling with the DNC funds and the Hillary Clinton campaign funds. So now they're commingling. Kamala, she's basically taking over, and there's a whole bunch of issues behind this, and they haven't shown us the rules in the DNC where this can happen, how it's supposed to happen. They're just going to say, oh, this is the way it's supposed to work. This is democracy. It's anything but that. This is the third year in a row, third term in a row, I should say, third voting cycle, major voting cycle in a row, where they have behind the scenes manipulated what the popular opinion is of the people, of their party. They did it with Bernie Sanders in 2016. They did it with Joe Biden and the others who were running against him in 2020. And now they're doing it in 2024, where they're just outright usurping the position of power. Now, there are delegates, and there are superdelegates in the Democrat Party. It will be interesting to see what the actual count is at the end of the day at the convention. I'm sure there are people who are being pressured one way or the other. There are deals being cut. There are things being said, promises being made, and threats out the wazoo that are being made. But like I said, they have to present an air of unity in this process. At the convention, they've got to show that they're all on board and they're all, you know, this is the best person they've got and this is what they're going for. It's all about them maintaining power. Again, the end justifies the means with these people, and that's what they're looking for. They're looking for the end. Now, having said that, let's talk about unity for a moment, shall we? Unity. And for them, it's unity at any cost, and unity has a different meaning for the Democrats. A good leader who leads the people, especially a people who have diverse opinions, attitudes, ideologies, backgrounds, life experience, in order to bring together people in unity, you have to build a coalition of ideologies that people agree to, that people, everyone's on board with. For instance, you would come out as a leader and you would say, I want to see everyone be able to be provided for with health care. How we go about that now is what we're going to have to discuss. And then you lay out your platform and you sell this to everyone and you get them on board with it. I would like, if I was the leader, I would present a plan that would show how I'm going to have everybody be able to afford health care. Not just have it given to them, but they would be able to afford it. Have an economy that's strong enough, have jobs that are strong enough, have an economy and a group of people in a country that is so strong that we can afford to pay for our health care. Not just that we have to live on the dole, have the government pay for it for us, and have to basically just be chattel. But that comes with an awful lot of strings attached. I can't just choose the provider I want. I can't just choose what kind of care I want, or if I want care at all. They will mandate it for you. And we know how the mandates go when a little flu breaks out, and all of a sudden we have to have a shot. Well, you have to take it because it's mandated by your insurance company. And they have the guns. Well, they have the F-16s. So, how we do this is we develop a vision for our country. A vision that people can rally around and get behind. That brings unity, based on what we believe we are as a country and what we want to be as a country. You define that, you educate people on that, and then you have people join the vision and get on board and go from there. In the Democrat, because it's a voluntary process, but it takes work to get people to that point. The Democrats do not have that concept down. They don't have a vision of anything other than, I'm not Trump. He's a convicted felon. He's a, you know, whatever they're going to call him, all kinds of names. Fraudster, all these things they're going to call him. They can keep saying these things. And why is he up in the polls? If they keep saying this stuff and he's up in the polls and it's not working for them, and yet they continue to say it. He's a threat to our democracy. He's going to steal. That's not happening. They just keep saying it. If you guys are the ones defining democracy, you're not doing a very good job of that. The method that the Democrats use for unity is compliance. bend the knee and comply and bow down to our way of doing it so that we can all be unified. Comply or you're out. That's their version of unity. Get on board or get re-educated. This is the way it's going to be. There's no coalition, there's no caucus, there's no discussion, there's no debate. This is the way, and this is the way you will do it. That's who these people are. So I would like to contend that there is going to be a lot more going on. Now, I will hopefully have a show tomorrow morning. I'm planning on having a show tomorrow morning, unless there's some kind of technical difficulties, in Tulsa tomorrow morning. And we will go from there. But in the meantime, I'd like to have some audio, hopefully have some audio for you by that point, to listen to some of these things that have been said. So everything from the director, Cheadle, to some of the things that some other people have said about the assassination attempt and all those kinds of things. Things that the Democrats have said, how they think it's phony, it's fake, it was made up, it was a setup, it was a false flag. He wasn't actually shot in the ear. Was he really shot in the ear by a bullet? Was it glass? Was it shrapnel? We haven't got a medical report. Whatever. All these different things they're saying about all this stuff. And I think they're realizing how ridiculous they are. They're diminishing themselves by saying these things. They're discrediting and disqualifying themselves from even speaking at this point. It's by being so stupid. So, here we are. Again, like I said, we will try to compile all this, put some things together for tomorrow morning. I'm not sure how well that's going to work. Friday morning. Oh wait, this Saturday morning. Yeah, tomorrow. Yeah, tomorrow's Friday. We will have a show tomorrow morning. Hopefully, be a few things there, and then I probably will be busy now. Monday, Tuesday next week. Monday, Tuesday, and probably Wednesday. Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday of next week, I will have a show. Might be a little bit difficult on Wednesday. I'm not sure how that's going to work out for sure. I think I'm going to be able to get a show in for all of you on Wednesday. You'll just have to see how that works out. In the meantime, continue to pray for our nation, pray for each other, and especially pray for the protection of Donald Trump and everybody else around him. I mean, we tend to forget someone did die that day. Someone was killed that day. I think that's profoundly affecting Donald Trump. He realizes that there is a man who is dead because they were attempting to kill him, and that man died and lost his life. It becomes very personal to a person, and it's like I've said before. It's not something you just get over right away. This is something you process, and you become much more reflective about life very quickly, and it has a very deep effect on your life. For him to step back into a podium again, which sounds like, the Secret Service now is saying, you shouldn't have rallies outside. Well, no, you should just be better at protecting him. You should be able to do that. So we'll see how this pans out, how it all works out. But it's just, he's a very brave man. Anybody could have cowered up off the stage, could have said, I'm not going to do this. It's just crazy. This is, it's not worth it. He's the guy who gets up in the middle of all that and says, fight, fight, fight. And I think he changed a lot of people's minds at that point. And that's why the things were so unified at the RNC. And we're going to see nothing but fake unity and chaos at the DNC, which is coming up here, I think, next week. Once again, folks, thanks for being with me. Thanks for listening. Thanks for sharing. And thanks for hanging in there while I dump my opinions on you. Have a great day. God bless. Take care.